So tonight, to start off the service, I would just like us to look at our, because some of you, who's new, who's hasn't been here, who's been here for the last, or who's new in the last month or so, last 2 months, let's say. Who's just visited us? Hands up high quickly. Okay, there's quite a lot of you, okay, it's about almost half. So I would just like to, and obviously it's good for the people who've been in our church for a while, because it's a good time to look at our values and our vision. Tonight we're really celebrating God's goodness. It's a Thanksgiving service, and I know some of you are going away. We're going to pray for you guys that are going away as well in the service. But I would just like to revisit again just who we are as Shofar, just our vision and our values. So first of all, our vision, the vision that the Lord gave Pastor Fred in 1992 or whenever he decided to formulate. I don't know when the vision was formulated. It wasn't formularized at the beginning, I think. But this is the vision that the Lord gave our leaders. Okay, it's basically to reach nations and generations through three things. Okay, for obviously to reach nations and generations is like that's God's plan. Okay. God wants to reach all people. He said, go into all the nations and make disciples. Okay, Matthew 28. But how are we going to reach nations and generations? Lots of people out there are trying to reach nations and generations. Lots of people are doing amazing work in terms of reaching people and reaching the lost and just changing the world. Okay, so it's great to have that first statement up there. Okay, we want to reach nations and generations. Okay, but it's very important to understand, okay, how does the Lord want us to reach nations and generations? Okay, as a church specifically. He wants us to do it specifically through three things. First of all, and these are important because the order is important. First of all, we need to make disciples. Now, that's simply obeying Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. It's simply saying we realize we need to obey to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I taught you, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. That's what Jesus said. So it's to make disciples. Now, that's a whole sermon on its own. I'm not going to go into that now. But we are in the disciple-making process. We're not into just getting people saved. As you will notice in our church, we're really serious about getting people to maturity. Okay? We don't just want a bunch of converts coming to church, enjoying Jesus. We want people to grow in the knowledge and the love of the Lord Jesus. That's what a disciple is. It's just someone who follows Christ, someone who is like Christ. And obviously, we're all in that process. Okay. So all of us, and last week's sermon just confirmed that again, is that people like Mark were discipled. That's how he could keep on the road. That's how he could finish the journey strong, because he had disciple makers around him. And we all need that in our lives. But we also need to make disciples. And a true disciple maker is someone, or a true disciple is someone who makes disciples. Okay. So we need to also make disciples. We mustn't just be a disciple and a follower of Christ. We need to actually make disciples and encourage others to follow Christ as well. And they also do that by following us. Okay. In case you didn't know that, Paul said, imitate me. He said to Timothy, imitate me. So we must get people also to follow us, but obviously not primarily to follow us. They must follow Christ. But sometimes you need to just model Christ to someone. Whether it's a guy who's lost or whether it's a guy who's already saved, but he's off the road, you need to model Christ to someone. Okay, so it gets exciting. So that's the first thing. Then after we've started to raise up disciples, or once a disciple has reached a certain potential in his life, then he starts to become a leader. And obviously we see potential in people. Especially me, I enjoy seeing potential in people. So I see potential in people from the start, and I say, hey, you're a leader. So sometimes some of us put people in positions a bit early, others take a bit too long. But whatever, we need to identify leaders once we've made disciples. We can't just leave people as disciple makers or kind of disciples. We must actually give them functions to fulfill. So how do we do that? We make leaders out of them. We start to raise up leaders. And it's not just church. I'm talking about leaders in your career. One day you'll be a boss or a CEO, then we want you to be the best managing director that you can be, so that you can influence other people, so that you can be the leader that God has called you to be. But obviously, we're also into the church business, so we tend to raise up church leaders specifically. And then, obviously, how are we going to go and reach a lot of people? We're not just going to reach a lot of people by having one church and having a huge masses of people in one church. This church is by far too small for a very small part of Bloemfontein, wouldn't you agree? Okay, if we're going to reach the nations, and you think about even all the churches in Bloom at this stage are never going to be enough to fill up, to actually, you know, carry all the people that we could actually reach. Would you agree with that? We must think out the box sometimes, because sometimes we think these four walls, okay, we'll reach this amount of people, that church will reach that amount of people, but all the churches in Bloom will never be enough for the harvest that is out there, okay? So we need to think out the box a little bit. So that's what we do. We plant churches, okay? So we and Bloemfontein Shofar are part of a church plant here, and we are part of one of 25 churches just in South Africa that Shofar has planted, okay? So we're into the church planting business, okay? That's just our vision. And so It's important that you get a heart for that as well. And you see, Lord, how can, I'm not necessarily going to be a pastor, maybe, but how can I help to plant a church? Okay? And that's why it's awesome to send out people. I think we're sending 15 people out of this church at the end of the year. Okay? Some of them will be here tonight. Some of them won't. But we trust the Lord that in, when you leave Shofar Bloemfontein and you go to another town, it's great. You can slot into another church. I'm not saying you mustn't. But you must maybe have it in your heart and say, Lord, how can I maybe start a Shofar church in this town? Because guess what? Every town needs a lot of churches. If we're going to reach all the, even small towns, they don't have a lot of people, but believe me, we'll need a lot of churches if we want to reach everyone in those towns. So wherever you go, you must start to think, Lord, how can I be a church planter? How can I assist in planting a church? And this church, by the way, was planted specifically by people who came here and said, Lord, we've embraced this heart. We've understood that this is the vision of this church. We don't want to just slot into another church and just become a consumer. We want to produce. We want to multiply. And that's what Dad and Mika did when they planted the church. And yeah, we are sitting at almost 100 people in cell groups at the moment. Okay, and it's so awesome to see how God has grown the church, how God is into this business of church planting. He honors it, and it's definitely from Him. If it wasn't from Him, we would have not made it this far, believe me. Okay, so God is really into the church planting business. I want to encourage you guys, even this holiday, even if you're coming back here next year, but start to, the place where you go to, start to pray for that place and start to say, God, show me. Maybe one day, if it's my hometown, maybe I'll come back here and I'll start something here and start where God wants to move and use me in whichever way, whether it's as a doctor or an engineer or whatever, but God wants to use you to form part of this vision to plant churches. So that's why we don't just want to plant churches to have a great time. We want to reach nations and generations. Okay, so I just thought I'd just share that with us tonight just to keep us informed as to where we're going, because sometimes we can get distracted by lots of things and lots of nice things, but they're not necessarily in line with where God wants us as a church. Okay, so then part of the second thing is the values of Shofar. It's so important to, as a member or someone who's interested in the church and who sees, hey, God is here, God is doing something here, you must understand who are we and what are our core values in terms of us as a family. What are we serious about? Every family and every church has got its specific things that we or that they focus on and that they're serious about. And we as Shofar specifically have four core values that define us. First of all, we, and I trust that when people see us, that they will really see this in people. And if they don't, then there's something wrong with our discipleship process. We're not leading people to Christ. Okay. The first thing is to have a passion for Jesus Himself. Because without the passion for Jesus, without following Him, we might as well just leave it. Because then we can just as well be an organization. We can be a business. We can do lots of other great things. But if we're not focused on our foundation, then we're missing the point, because Jesus is into the church business. Okay, He's the founder of the church. So we must have a passion for our commander, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. That's the first thing that defines us. Secondly, is we are into the people business. Okay, and I must agree, sometimes as Shofar, we're so focused, we're so prophetic, we're going for it. And sometimes we forget about our second core value. Is we're not just into focusing on Jesus and having a great time with Him. We are into His, we are part of His passion. His passion is people. So that's the second thing that should define us, is we're passionate about the people that Jesus loves. And that's everyone, not just the church family. But the word says primarily we must look after the saints. We must love the saints and do good to the household of faith first. But Jesus loves everyone out there, and He wants us to have a desire for all men to be saved. Okay, so that's the people thing. You can remember just the four P's. And then thirdly is we really like to characterize ourselves by our faith, our ability to believe in the impossible, the power of belief, the power of faith in our lives. That is what characterizes us. We're not just the people walking through life, being victims, being survivors. We are people of faith. We see, we pioneers. We want to see opportunities. We want to go for what God is seeing or showing us and what we need to see in the Spirit. But it all comes from where we have a faith in God and a power to believe what God is seeing. And that also talks there about the Holy Spirit, having a relationship with the Spirit of God where God can start to show us the impossible. He can start to show us the supernatural, start to show us what we don't see with our natural eye. And that is the walk that we want all of us to walk with. I trust that all of you will walk in this thing of having power and having it out of a humility, but out of a belief in who God is and not who you are. Okay, that is the third core value. And then lastly, we have a purpose to pursue. And that just ties in with the value, with a vision again, as we want to see nations and generations change. We want to see disciples made, leaders raised up, churches planted. That is who we are. We have a purpose. We're not just here to take up space and to sit in a few pews and to have a nice time on a Sunday. And I really want to encourage you guys and just say something that the Lord reminded me of again this weekend, is that, you know, church on a Sunday, this is not church. This is a celebration service. Church happens throughout the week. Okay, some of us still think the church is on a Sunday. Church is like, this is, and we're having great Sunday services. I must say, the Lord is really our worship, and our the band is God is taking the band to the next level. But it's not about the band or just how we experience Sunday services. That's just a celebration of what should happen through the week. And many times, sometimes we come here heavy and we come here burdened because we don't understand that this is not church. This is a celebration. We must come ready. We must say, Lord, thank you for what you've done through the week. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for, you know, just meeting me every time when I'm down. Thank you for the quiet time I had this week. Thank you for the fellowship I had with friends and believers and even unbelievers this week. It's all part of church. You see, church is alive. And because church is going to become a burden if we don't see it like this. A Sunday service will become, oh, it's just another thing on my agenda. Small group will become another thing. Intercession will just become another thing if we don't understand what is church really. Church is life. The Acts people at the beginning, when they started the first church, they understood this was like their life. They didn't have anything else. They had life, fellowship, koinonia. That's what they understood about church. So we mustn't see Sunday as this is just church. I'll just come to a Sunday service and then I've done the church thing. We must see church as the whole week. It's part of our lives. But this must be a celebration. If we don't celebrate on a Sunday night, then we're also missing it. God wants us to celebrate. It's called a celebration service every Sunday night. Okay. So see church differently and see that you've got a purpose to pursue. You've got a passion for Jesus. You've got people to serve. You've got, there's a Holy Spirit in you to give you the power of faith and to give you what God wants you to desire. Okay, so that, those are just our core values as Shofar. And I want us to remember that. And I want, especially those who are going away this holiday, I want you to pray about it and say, God, show me what you see. And show me what you want me to do next year. And prepare yourself this holiday. Don't just have a great holiday and say, oh, next year I'll get to all the things God wants me to get. Prepare for it now. And that's why we're having a brainstorming service on Saturday. I mean, service, a brainstorming day. Because we want to plan before, and it doesn't help us come next year and we think, okay, what events must we do, God? How are we going to reach the campus? How are we going to reach Brandfach? How are we going to reach the city for you? We need to think about it now already. And so ask the Lord to show you, to give you the passion that is in His heart for the city. And if you're going away, ask Him and say, Lord, prepare me. If I need to slot into a church, show me my position in that church. Don't just get into that church and then say, okay, you know, I'll just sit and wait for a while. Be a pioneer then. Say, where can I start something maybe in that church? Obviously, you're going to embrace their values and embrace their DNA and everything. But you must close the Lord and say, Lord, show me how can I make a difference in this church. I don't just want to sit here and wait another year and waste my time. I want to be a pioneer. I want to be a mover and a shaker for the kingdom. Okay. And I really want to appeal to you guys. Don't be accountable in this holiday. But I'll talk more about that just at the end. So I'm going to ask, before we have the testimonies, I'd like all the people that are leaving, I want to pray for you guys. So if those who are leaving Bloemfontein in the next few weeks, please come forward. We'd like to just lay hands on you and pray for you. So anyone who's going, I know some of you might be here next week, but it's fine. Yo, there's too many. Okay. We're excited to send you guys out, okay? You guys can just stand here. And then I'd like just some of the leaders as well, just to come and lay hands on them and pray for them. You guys can face the audience to show them how beautiful you guys are, how pretty you are. I'll just stand this side. Okay, so some of the leaders, we've got Pierre there and Francois, the two medical students. And then, sorry, just your name. Sorry? Lelo. Lelo there and Tammy and Hanay and Carleen. Lente, jy gaan nie weg nie. En Merwe en Lindemarie, Sonja gaan weg, Salome gaan weg, Martinet gaan weg, Darius gaan weg. So it's just amazing. It's sad to see people go, but I'm just so excited to send these people out. Okay, so we're all just going to close our eyes, stretch out our hands to these amazing people. And we're going to just pray. And you guys just pray in the Spirit facilitators. And if you have a word for them, just share it with them afterwards. We're going to pray for these people and just trust the Lord that God is going to use them mightily where they go. So, Father, we thank you for these amazing people. Thank you for those who have served, Lord, faithfully, those who have experienced your presence in this place, Lord. We thank you that we can be excited, Lord, to send them. God, we're not just saying, have a great life, and there you go, Lord. We send them with your purpose, God. We send them with an excitement, Lord, and just a mandate, Lord, to go and to reach nations and generations, to reach the community that they are being sent to. Lord, I thank you for the doctors that are being sent out. Lord, God, I just thank you for every gift and every talent that's in this place, Lord, that's standing here, Lord, and that you want to multiply. I just sense, Lord, you want to multiply every fruit and every bit of ability, Lord, that is placed in some people. And even some of them think, but where can I be used? God, and I pray that that lie would be cancelled right now, because you are going to show them very specifically where they fit into your great purpose. Lord, thank you for the great purpose that you have, Lord, to extend your kingdom. And we're excited tonight. Even though, Lord, we're sad to see people go, and we're sad to see pioneers go, but we're also excited that these pioneers will do great things for you, Lord. And we speak that over their lives right now. We speak amazing blessings and favor upon their lives. We speak open doors, God, there where it seems like doors are closed. We speak open doors over their lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we're excited. We thank you. We thank you for the blessings that each and every one of them are, Lord. And Lord, from this church, we say, Lord, let your kingdom come in their lives and through their lives. And let much fruit, hundredfold fruit, come from each of these lives. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Thanks, guys. Let's just give them a hand again. Thanks so much. So we'll be doing this at the end of every year, because we really believe in that. We believe in receiving people, and that's why we do it. When new members come, we receive them, but also when others go, we send them and we bless them. Some of them have only been here for a short while, and that's fine. We want to send you and bless you in the name of the Lord, because we're excited about the purpose. We don't hold people back. You see, we don't own people. We just stewards of the people that God gives us for a while. And we are a student church at this stage, so we'll be sending out a lot of people, okay? So I'm getting used to this myself. Okay, normally pastors want to hold people on, and it's great, but we really need to get excited that we are a part of the university's mandate is also to raise up leaders to go and change the world. And that is what we as Shofar believe in. We want to raise up leaders to plant churches and to be the light and the salt. Amen. So I'm going to ask some people, I've asked a few people to testify and just to thank God for what he's done in their lives this year. So if it's Merva, I think yes, over some of will begin. So I think you can start Vas Merva. Merva just wants to share a testimony of what God has done and just in his lives. And the rest van julle kan so lank regmaak. Elis Marie en Danri en ek weet nie wie die res is nie.
Hallo julle. My naam is Merva en ek het Vrydag wat verby is my meesters in argitektuur klaar gemaak. Om mee te begin, ek het vooral visie wat architectuur soort. Jesus, jylle is diere. Ok, kom sê Rihanna. Rihanna, laat architectuur jou toe om te gaan flik. Laat architectuur jou toe om te dink oor flik. As flik nie in context is nie, praat jy nie eers al oor nie. So, vir die van jylle wat nie lekker weet nie, architectuur is een, dis nie net een swatting nie, dis een leefstijl. Dit vat letterlik alles van jou. Nou, waar my testimony eindelijk gaan, is maar net oor die feit dat jou meestersjaar werk bietjie anders as die rest van die ander 4 jare, is dat jy kies basis een thema aan die begin van die jaar, en dan moet jy jouself motiveer, en als ek het hiervan ding, om op die einde van die dag deur te kom, en dan te krit voor een paneel van mense, wat baie intimiderend is, 26 van hulle om actual te wees. So dit vat nogal redig drijfkrag, en seker type van goed, en op die einde van die dag, kan ek vir julle vertel wat ek wil, maar dit sou onmoontlik gewees het vir my, om deur hierdie jaar te kom op my eie. Op daar wil ek sê, op die Here het my ongelooflik gedra, maar daar wil ek net Sonja moet gaan hand opsteek. Kom. As het nie verhaal was nie, nee, was ek nog maarder. Nee, dan het ek heel moeilik, dan sou ek moes sit. Dit sou nie gewerk het nie, so sy is die champion. Sy het ongelooflik baie vir my beteken. En dan vir een en elkeen van julle wat hierdie jaar vir my gebid het, as dat van julle is, waardeer ek het rechtig, maar in elk geval om 'n lang story kort te maak is, maart maand se kant, DB een keer kom preek, oor basis, oor idols en goed wat mense jou leven aan vasthou, en vooral goed soos finansies en studies en daai type van dinge, en dit het my woeshard gechallenge, en ek dacht toe, okay cool, ek is juist op 'n plek op hierdie stadium van my scriptie, wat ek genuine sukkel. Ek sukkel om my gebou geontwikkel te kry, my konteksanalises werk nie lekker nie, niks maak sin nie, ek moet elke keer fight met my docente, en ek was redelijk heelvol vir dit gewees, en ek denk toe, okay cool, kom ons gee hier 'n shot. Jy weet, op hierdie stadium is architectuur so'n groot deel van my leven, kom ons leer dit neer, maar kom ons doen dit nie net halfhartig nie, en ons probeer dit ten volle doen. En ek het rechtig, het ek en die Here nogal een pad gestap, omtrent so'n maand of maand en een half daarna, om rechtig op baie plek te kom, waar ek kan sê, Here, as as u vir my 'n halfuur voor my finale krit sê ek moenie krit nie, ek moet iets heeltemal anders doen, dan sal ek dit doen. En om met 'n eerlike hart vir julle te sê, ek het op daai plek gekom. Dit was baie moeilik, maar ek het eventueel daar uitgekom. En van toe af het dit net vir my gevoel asof my goed begin in plek val. Ek het nog baie meteens met William veral gesels oor goed soos finansies ook, en saam met dit het die Here my regtig ge-challenge om my finansies ook net oor te gee aan hom. En dinge het net soos begin snowball van daar af. Om vir julle idee te gee, ek lieg nou regtig as ek dit sê nie. Ek het soggens staan nie op. Ek is 8 uur in die studio en ek stap meeste van die kere stap ek soos op die volgende dag so 2 uur stap ek uit. So dis regtig nie 'n joke nie. En tussenin dit alles deur het ek nog steeds tyd gekry om by die band uit te kom. Ek het nog steeds tyd gekry om by Sel uit te kom. Ek het dank die Vader so nou en dan tyd gekry om by Sonja uit te kom. So die feit dat sy nog vasgehou het aan my, wel dan, dankie. So net deur dit alles, en ek weet vir feit, ek sou nie op hierdie storm, ek sou verseker nie gestaan het as dit vir die Here se ondersteuning was nie. En net om daai cherry op die koek te sit, dat soos jy kan aflei, is die krit op die einde van die dag is 'n baie groot ding. Jy moet daarvoor staan, jy moet jou jaar se werk in 10 minute opsom. Jy het jou model en jou presentations en alles hier teen jou, ou teen die muur, en dan het jy 'n PowerPoint wat jy vir ouens moet voorlê. So jy's redelik nervous. Dit is 'n groot ding. Dis nie ek gaan gou met my vriend gesels oor my jaar se projek nie. En so ek was meer rustig gewees voor my finale krit as wat ek nou hierso staan. So dis net ek weet net yes, julle dit is baie baie cool en ek wil net al die eer aan die Here gee. As dit nie vir hom was nie, was ek verseker nie waar ek nou was nie. So dankie. Wag, nog een ding. Sorry. Ja, laat ek gou aangaan. Ek het actually ek wens ek het hierdie skrif vroeër in die jaar gekry. Maar ek het dit actually so 'n week voor my eindkrit gekry en dit het verskriklik baie vir my beteken. Dis 2 Korintiërs 4 vers 16 en die opskrif van daai stukkie is net lewe deur die geloof. En hierso staan om hierdie rede word ons ook nie moedeloos nie. Alles ons uiterlik besig om te vergaan, inniglik word ons van dag tot dag vernuwe. So ja, dit is maar net iets wat kyk, daar was 'n paar dae wat ek rof gelyk het en ek het letterlik ek het een middag by Sonja gaan eet en ek sou wel gaan eet het, toe pas ek letterlik uit daar op die bank en ek word 'n uur later om te stywe nek en toe moet ek teruggaan. So dit is maar hoe dit gewerk het. Was dit nie vir ja, hierdie skrif het my nogal die laaste stuk gedraak en ek is nou klaar. Dankie, cheers.
Yes, praise the Here. All glory to God for that. Lisa, wil jy getuig? Waar's Lisa? Sy sê wil jy getuig het. O, Elismarie is reg. En dan Danri.
Okay. Dis ek is so warm te sê. Dit voel vir my asof 10 jaar in die laaste jaar was, maar ek kan nie vir hulle alles sê nie. Ja, ek het dis al so wag gebeur. Dit was regtig 'n jaar dat ek wil nooit oordoen nie as ek moet teruggaan en ek moet 'n jaartjie om oor te gaan nie hierdie jaar wees nie. Was regtig 'n rowwe jaar, maar ek wil te veel opsom want die meeste van julle ken die storie en dit is soveel as julle nie die storie ken nie van my naai dat ek vir jou vertel. Maar ek het basically ek onthou toe ek die dag uit Kimberley gery het en ek het Bloemfontein toe gekom. Dis julle ek was in my lewe nog nooit so verward nie. Ek was so verward daai skrif wat sê van a wave tossing in the ocean. Ek het gesê dit ek skryf en ek was so paniekbevang want ek gedink hoe gaan ek anders wees want ek was net so nowhere. En ek het my pallootjie gelaai en my hele lewe het letterlik in die pallo gepas. En daar was nog plek ook. Ek het nog terug gaan 'n bottel wyn ook ingesit en ek het Bloemfontein toe gery. En julle ek het nie 'n idee gehad wat ek hier kom doen nie. Dit is net soos die krisisste ding vir iemand wat alles vooruit beplan en ek het glad nie geweet wat ek doen nie. Ek het gekom, 'n vriendin van my het 'n plek in hulle huis gehad en ek het nou maar net begin swat want wat moet ek doen? Ek is net so nowhere. Dit wat ek mee goed is en wat ek dink ek op daardie storie moet gedoen het, het ek opgehou doen want ek kon dit nie meer nie. En wat ek voor geswat het, het ek toe nou ook nie gebruik nie. So ek het letterlik van voor af begin. Ek se eerste jaar ek was met my matriek, daai matriek in my van my sotte, ons het hulle sotte genoem, was saam met die klas. So dit was flippend snaaks geweest. Soos ek nou weer begin klas loop, maar dit daar gelaas ek onthou net daai verwardheid en as ek my lewe moes opgesom met daai tyd was dit soos ek het net so gevoel, ek het nie lekker 'n wortelstelsel nie. En een keer het hulle in ons gevra om jy moet 'n roosboom teken en dan gaan julle nou sien, dan gaan dit nou vir jou ontleed. Ek het gelag, maar ek teken toe die roosboom en almal ontleed nou al die roosbome en my roosboom lyk nou baie mooi. So ek het 3 groot rose en 'n klomp knoppies en die vrou kyk het so om te sê nee, dis uit die potensiaal en ek glo in myself en dis wat ek alles kan doen en sy vra my maar waar is die pot geplant? Verstaan, in wat is die rose? Was is niks. So ek oeps. En toe sê sy maar dit is wat sy toe nou daar uitkry en ek het die hele tyd gelag. Ek het nie gedink is waar is dit soos jy is al hierdie goeders, maar jy het nog nêrens jou wortels geskiet nie en jy het nêrens standvastigheid nie. En nêrens is daar en nou moet jy besluit om oor jou lewe. Ek moet nou besluit wat gaan ek doen vir jou lewe? Wat waartoe is ek op pad? En ek het soos net die glad die fondamente nie. En dit voel vir my soos jy besluit wat ek kleer jou huis gaan verf, maar die basis is nog nie al gelê nie. En jy het 'n skildery en jy het goed verwar jou se want jy het al hierdie goeders en jy weet nie waar om met te gaan nie want jy het nie 'n buis nie. En ag wel langs ter rekord ek het toe net die besigheid ding wat ek vir jou wil sê. Ek het 'n besigheid begin. ek het nie opleiding in dit nie. Ek het begin saam met 'n vrou. Ek het gedink ek gaan hierdie kans vat, ek gaan dit doen. En op daardie stadium van my lewe was al soos dit was regtig, ek dink die Here het so 'n Job-tyd in my gehad en mense is my baie belangrik, ek is verskriklik lief vir mense. En om een of ander rede was dit soos 'n tyd waar die mense is net soos staan ek het soos ek en my pa het nie 'n lekker verhouding nie en ek en my sussie vir eens het nie verhouding nie en almal soos weg, nê? En die vrou van week gewerk het, sy is oor see. En hulle is toe ook weg. So nou sit ek in my massiewe leë huis. En party onde dat wat ek gesê het, hulle hoor ek het weer galm so. Dink ek, okay, op jouself jammer kry verstaan. Ons niemand het jou eers gaan hoor nie. So ek het nou maar opstaan en begin en dit was verskriklik baie finansiële druk. So, elke maand het ek R19,000 wat ek produce net om net skoon te breek. En dis julle en dit is eintlik net so vir genade. Ek dink nou regtig sit ons op die stoep en ons kyk en ek dink nou aan my lewe met die twee skilderytjies wat ek gehad het in my bietjie klere in die wynbottel toe ek bloem toe gekom het. En ek sit daar en dit is letterlik 'n jaar wat ek besluit het om dit van te doen, julle. Wat ek sit in 'n vrek lekker huis. Bittergoed geleë. Dis mooi, dis lekker, dis my plek. Dit is soos ongelooflik lekker en hier het soos vir my soveel guns gegee in so baie plekke. Annie, dit was Februarie dat ek begin met die besigheid. Februarie het ek aan die universiteit se kroningsbal se alle klere gemaak. Hierdie jaar doen ek dit weer. Ek bly nou hulle hoofsponsor. Dit is in 'n jaar. Mense het van Bethlehem afgery. Mense het van Harry Smith afgery na my. Ons mense van Springbok af wat na my toe gery het. Dit is 'n ongelooflike guns. Dan partykeer kyk hulle sê ek, "Waar kry julle my? Hoe kom julle by my uit?" Dan sê ek soek julle vir Tena. Nee, ons soek vir jou. Dit is net soos ongelooflike guns. En toe iewers toe bel iemand my in die so ek dink so 4 maande terug. Vir is 'n kongres, 'n vroue kongres. Toe sê hulle ek moet asseblief daar kom praat. En dis net so amazing hoe die Here net so flippend baie deure oopgemaak het. En dis so onverdiend. En heeltyd ek nog gedink jy's ek weet nie gaan hierdie werk nie. Jy weet en aan die einde van die jaar toe alles nou klaar is en jy begin geld maak en jy begin actually vooruit gaan. Toe besef ek net yes, die Here se hand is so oor 'n mens. En dit was moeilik en ek sê nie die challenges het opgehou nie. Daar is die heeltyd challenges en partykeer wil ek net so vir 'n oomblik net gaan sit en dan dink ek nee, hardloop, ek het ons nie nou tyd nie. So dit bly moeilik, maar die Here was net so getrou en wat ek geleer het, dis nou die werkboksie, net die persoonlike deel. Die Here het so in daai tyd wat ek soos regtig daar gesit het met my foon, as dit soos 11 in die aand en dan dink ek, nou moet ek iemand bel. En ek het letterlik nie vrymoedigheid om iemand te bel nie. En miskien was dit maar in my kop gewees, miskien is dit net soos hoe ek gevoel het op daardie stadium. En ek dink dit is so goed dat die Here my net op 'n plek wat hy my totaal geïsoleer het. En vir die eerste keer kan ek vir julle sê ek word nou Vrydag 25. Maar vir die eerste keer het ek daai gevoel van ek kan dit beskryf nie. Dis soos 'n contentment. En dit is soos hierdie gebeur hektiek goed en dan huil ek 'n bietjie of ek stres 'n bietjie, maar dit is nog steeds onderlangs is hierdie contentment want die huis se fondamente is gebou. Ek is besig om goedjies in die mure op te hang en die mure te verf en ja, die contentment is net so in my ding en ek voel net die laaste ding waar ek regtig wil getuig is ek het aan die begin gesê ek my pa se verhouding gehad het. Ek kom uit 'n gebroke gesinheid, dit was gaas. Ek en my pa, ek het niks van my pa gehou nie. En elke dag as ek so werk en dan dink ek soos ek raak al hoe meer soos my pa. En hy het tot bekering gekom en hy het regtig opgestaan as 'n strong man. En hy stuur mense, dit is amazing, net die impak wat hy in mense se lewens het en hoe hy opgestaan het van regtig uit niks uit en hoe hy awards kry en hy doen so flippend goed en hy is net so ongelooflik en maar vir my was dit so moeilik om te relate met hom en dit was vir my ek het nooit 'n verhouding met hom gehad en hierdie jaar julle dit is net so vir my ongelooflik en ek het net besef hoe nodig dit is vir mans om op te staan. Dis is letterlik as ek 'n krisis het dan bel ek my pa. As dit in die middel as ek wil raad hê, dan bel ek my pa. My pa bel my soos 3 keer 'n dag nou hierdie week toe sê vir my ek kom bloem toe slaap by my slaap, ek in my pas om op die bed. En dit is net vir my sulke spesiale goed, want ek het nooit gehad nie. En net daai sekuriteit om te weet, iemand bek jou. Daai sekuriteit, as iemand jou kar verkeerd diens, sê, mag my pas met jou bel. Net daai backing, dit is so nodig. En ek besef ons, baie by intersessie dink ons aan die mense wat nie daai goeders het nie. En dis ook om ek ook, mens moet jou nooit self isoleer nie, moet nie self isoleer nie, al gaan dit moeilik. Kry accountables en begin wees vir iemand een strong man en begin al goeders wees en dit is net amazing wat die sekuriteit dit bied. En dit is net just amazing hoe dit die laatste 6 maande in my leven net verander het. Verstond dit, ek het niemand nodig nie, want ek weet my identiteit in Jesus en ek weet my pa is daar en ek weet, hy dink ek kan hierdie ding doen. Miskien dink allemaal ek mal, maar hy dink ek kan dit doen. En dis rarig hoe die Heere oor ons voel en ek dink dit is hoekom ons hier as een familie saam is. So dit was rarig speciaal as daar nie mense was nie, so ek definitief hierdie jaar nie gemaakt het nie. So baie dankie vir allemaal in my leven, dankie vir allemaal wat ingepop het en burgers gebring het en gebid het. En die Heere was net soos ongelooflik. Ek dink, ek kan nie verstaan hoe kan hy so baie gins oor my leven, en dan dink ek hier, ek verdien nie eers hierdie nie. Ja, maar die Heere te gins hou nooit op nie, hy dink anders oor die goeders. So, ja, ek sien uit om volgende jaar te sê wat gebeur het.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth. I just want to add a little bit to her testimony, if I may. I could see she was challenged on being planted in the house of God this year. And I just can see the fruit of someone who's planted in the house of God. Not only planted in Christ, but planted in his body. And one can just see the fruit of that. And she was challenged on that, believe me. But it's just that there's amazing fruit when it comes from being planted specifically in the house of God, which is the picture that rose thing at the beginning was. She wasn't quite planted yet, but then she got planted and just amazing. You see how she flourished. Okay, thanks, Donnelly.
Good evening. I think I'm going to stick to reading or kind of reading, so sorry if I don't make the eye contact I should, but I feel like the words that I need to speak tonight, specifically for someone, at least one person needs to hear this. So, those of you who were here last week might remember the following passage from the message, and if you weren't here, I'd recommend downloading that service. Matthew 11:28-30. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I've known about God all my life. And in 2002, I had an encounter with His Spirit. There was a short honeymoon phase after which I let life get in the way and I let go of the truth. Letting go of the truth often leads you down the road that should rather not be traveled, and that's exactly what happened to me. I had an outward appearance of life, but on the inside, it was another story. Considering that many of you are students or professional people, it might be fair to assume that, like me, you want to understand things. You need to understand things. Instead of connecting and having a relationship with God, I learned about Him. Knowing about God does not really bring change. There are many that know about God who are on the fast track to nowhere. Knowledge puffs up, and it does not bring love, it does not bring joy, it does not bring peace. It usually just walks hand in hand with pride, and pride goes before a fall. We have to know God, but the way to know Him best is through relationship. This is still a challenge for me, but something that helps is having a Barnabas, Paul, and Peter in your life. Like they've said, those people that keep you accountable. An encourager, a challenger, and someone that can tell you the stories that let you fall in love with Jesus again and again. Some of the people who were with me in the honeymoon phase or at the same time have superseded me. They've gone on to become what looks like superstars for Jesus. It always seemed like some of them had it so easy. Why could he just connect with God like that? Why is she such a powerful prayer warrior? These questions just took my eyes off Jesus, my true reward. The truth about these people is that they often struggled as well, but that they fought the battle with Jesus at their side, and therefore had his peace. It says in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." God is a gentleman. I have often wished that he was not, because then he could kick my butt to get me back on track. Instead, he patiently waits for me to come back. I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. My journey has led me here, tonight, hopefully speaking to someone's heart. Some of you might have been where I was, and sometimes still am, lost in a desert, in a dry place, but have found your oasis. You need to testify about this. Tell those around you who think need to hear it, and even those you think don't. Others of you are still there. You look all sorted out, and no one would ever guess that you are lost in the wilderness. But God knows, and He's waiting for you, arms wide open, ready to run in your direction, to scoop you up in His arms, and to give you His peace. What I want to do tonight is I want to thank God for His patience, or rather long-suffering, for never giving up on me, for always being there for me, for always guiding me back. His mercies are great, and His grace is sufficient. I really just felt when Alistair asked, you know, should some, or if there are people with testimonies, that I have to come and say this. You know, it's not fun having to say these things. Yeah, I struggle, blah, blah, blah. Mostly when people come up here, they give, this year God did this for me, and it was so amazing. And then you sit there and you think, yeah, God never does that for me. But even in the moments like I've had, God is still there. God still brings you through. He's still calling you the whole time. And that's what's great for me about serving this God. You know, it feels in my head, it feels in my mind that I'm alone. It feels in my heart that I'm alone. But I'm never alone. He's always there. It feels like I'm the only one struggling. And then you hear other people's testimonies at cell group where they're a little bit more open, a little bit more likely to tell about the dark little things, the secret things, the things that you won't come and say up here, but the things that other people sitting here are also experiencing. You sit here and you might think that whatever you're going through, you're the only one. I can guarantee you there's another person in this room that probably has experienced the same thing. They might still be struggling with it. They might have overcome it. You just don't know who they are. And I think that's part of something that we need to grow in, to, you know, to become more open about these things, so that people like you and I who sit there and think, not me, God doesn't do that for me, He does. And there are people here that can testify about that. Thanks.
Thanks, Donnery. Was Pierre? Pierre is here. And then Linda, jy wil ook mos getuig. Jy kan kom, Lisa.
Hallo julle. Ek wil begin deur eers en vir die Here dankie te sê vir die feit dat hy my Shofar toe gelei het. Ek was van 2010 af deel van Shofar. Eers was ek so met baie huiwerig, want dit is nice mense, maar soms ek gaan dink dit is bietjie weird, dit is bietjie Jesus freaks. Maar ek wil regtig vir hom kom dankie sê vir die feit dat hy my tot hier gebring het en dankie vir die mense wat hy gebruik het om my tot hier te kry het. Ek dink Lizerie en Miranda en Franchal het my aanhoudend gevra om te kom en dan vir William en vir Tina, wat nie meer is nie, en vir Terrelle in die sel, wat net vir my daai liefde van Jesus gewys het, en net vir my gewys het, dat iets wat ek mis, en het aanhoudend my gevra om sel toe te kom, en net met my met open arms ontvang het, en William het op storm gesê, jy moet wonderwerk in die kerk gebeur, en ek kan regtig sê dat wonderwerk in my lewe gebeur, van Ken Shofar is. Nou wil ek van spesifiek van jaar sê, ek het die Legacy Seekers, is, ek dink hier in Maart gedoen, en voor het groot verwagtings gehad, en toe, dag voor ek daar kom, nie regtig lus gewees nie, en ek het soveel deliverance ontvang, met daardie kursus. Ek het nie baie goeie verhouding met Pony, en soveel goed wat ek nog nooit met iemand gedeel het nie, wat ek daar kon deel met mense, en net die deliverance ontvang het van die haat van my pa en vir die feit dat ek het gedink het, ek is rarig damaged oor die feit dat wat in my lewe aangaan en net ek het soeke melancholiese episodes gehad waar ek in my kamer net so huil en ja, en dit klink soos 'n loser, maar dis wat het was en rarig van daar af was weg. Het was net weg, en ek was net rarig deliver of van, en ek het soveel vrede gehad in my lewe, en al is daar goed wat nog steeds soms verkeerd gaan, is net daai, ek het daai vrede, ek het daai absolute vrede, wat net nie weggeneem kan word nie, en ja, so my Here rarig daarvoor dank, En dan wil ek 'n finansiële testimonie lewer ook. Ek het bevoorreg genoeg my beurs te kry van my eerste jaar af, maar nog nooit ek is finansieel onafhanklik van my ouers redelik en nog nooit probleme gehad nie. En toe in die begin van die jaar toe het ek begroot nou mos nou op 'n sekere tyd tot die beurs uit en toe betaal my beurs nie uit nie. En ek het alles moontlik gedoen, met almal gaan praat, selfs bietjie beklei en regtig probeer om daai geld net in my rekening te kry want my geld's op, wat gaan ek doen? En my ouers kom nie op daai stadium help het nie. En ek het regtig in daai tyd geleer om in afhanklikheid van God te leef, om net van dag tot dag te gaan en te weet hy gaan voorsien. It's amazing, my tannie hulle gaan aan die einde van die jaar Kanada toe, so sy het begin geld opspaar en sy het al geld gehad om vir my een maand te leen om my huur te betaal en my ouma, sy het soos 'n Transnet pensioenfonds en in daai tyd wat ek regtig geld gehad het nie, het sy 'n verskriklike bonus van Transnet afgekry. So as ek by my ouma gaan kuier, sy bly net oor kan die pad, dan ek loop nie sonder dat sy vir my R200 of iets gegee het nie, verstaan? Dit gee my kos en ek het net so geleer dat staan die Here voorsien. Al kan ek nie staan al het ek probeer wat en ek kan nie sien hoe gaan ek uit hierdie benarie uitkom nie. Het hy net voorsien en hy het keer op keer net vir my gewys, vertrou op my en ek sal vir jou voorsien en so ja, ek moet sê die Here is goed en maak nie saak wat gebeur nie. Maak nie saak of dit goed gaan of sleg gaan nie. Onthou net die Here is goed en hy sal uitkom skep.
Ja, ek kan nie eindelijk vanavond nie testify nie, want ja, die Here het die afgelope jaar ongelooflik baie goed in my lewe gedoen, en ek weet eintlik nie waarom te begin het nie, dus kom ek het gedink, dalk moet ek nie testify nie, en ek het verlede jaar, toe ek klaar was, toe dit ook hierdie was, het ek net geskryf wat eintlik laas in my lewe gebeur het, maar ek wil net vinnig vir julle sê, hoe goed die Here laas jaar vir my was, want soos ek nou so Merwe kan aansluit, maar ek het weer laas jaar het ek ook my skripsie en argitektuur klaar gemaak, en het was derig wiesjes, en ja, en toe in die middel van laas jaar, toe kom daar nog 'n bol in gegooi, en toe is my pa oorlede in die middel van die jaar, en toe wil ek eers net ophou, en allemaal het my net so gemotiveerd gesê, gaan aan, en kies ja, en allemaal het so vir my gebid, en so gesê, hou net aan, en ek het rarig, ek het nie geweet, waar ek gaan krag kry nie, dit was net soos, ek het nie geweet nie, en jy karring aan, en jy voel net niks gaan gebeur nie, en toe ek op die ou end, het die Here my so deur dit gedra, en hy het vir my toe laaste tyd, en jy kan niks onthou nie, dit voel rarig of jy nie lewe nie, dit voel, jy ry oor rooi robotte, jy doen baie snaakse goedes, en die laaste dag, toe ek ook my eksamen moes gedoen het, toe kom ek ook in die eksamen, toe soos, allemaal was mans op my paneel gewees, na gaan staan daar, en ek het nie tyd gehad om my ding eers voor te brei nie, want ek was so agter met my projek gewees, en toe gaan staan ek daar, en ons het so gebid vir die tyd, en daar het hierdie vrede oor my gevloei, en ek kan onthou, ek het regtig nie 'n woord voorberei nie, en ek kan nie 'n woord onthou wat ek in die eksamen gesê het nie, maar ek weet net, dit was amazing gewees, wat die Here deur my gepraat het, dit was nie ek wat al gepraat het nie, en ja, hy het my verskriklik in het geples, rarig, en het het baie goed gegaan, en het was rarig net sy genade gewees, en toe, net daarna, toe ek vir Sia Amerika toe, maar ek het alleen oorgegaan, en dit was ook nogal een challenge gewees, en toe ek nou nog nie lekker uitgeslaap en alles nie, en ek besluit ek gaan, en toe ek al aankom, toe bly ek ook soms 7 ouwens toe nou in een plek, en het is toen nou nogal so'n bykie ook een challenge geweest, en jy is op een skieresort, dit is minus 20, minus 30 grade, en dit is rarig verskrikkelijk koud geweest, en toe het die Here my wees ook ontbless, want baie keer as hulle mense ook moes na hierdie skieresort so gaan, en persoon, en sikkel hulle maar om deur die tyd te kom, en soos, ja, mense kom ons maar een bykie om geld om ook, en toe die Here my so geblees met my vioolspeel uit net, dat ek soos as entertainer ook daar aangestel word, en ja, ek weet nie, dit is net, soos die mense wat ek daardoor ontmoet het, was rarig ongelooflik geweest. En, ja, toe ek teruggekom het van daar af, oma, ek wil net by sê, ek is baie lief van hardloop, en ek dink, soos my hele lewe lang, het ek soos in hierdie ding gelewe, wat ek net aanhou wou hardloop in my kop en ek wou nie tot stilstand kom nie en ek wou van alles af weghardloop en soos toe ek eers terugkom, toe besef ek hoe lang ek weghardloop het en toe besef ek soos daar is soveel goed in my verlede waarmee ek nie wou gedeel het nie en toe ek ook net terugkom toe, dat ek ook toe weet, ek moet begin werk, en ek weet nie waar ek wil werk nie, ek het nie, ek gaan nie in Bloemfontein werk nie, en toe bid ek so, dat ek asseblief iewers die 1 Julie moet werk kry, en ek beloof vir julle, ek het uitgevind van iemand, wat iemand gesoek het, by hulle werk in Bloemfontein die 1 Julie, en ek het daar ondersoek gedoen, en toe ek in haar plek instap, toe het ek soveel vrede gekry, en toe weet ek as wat moet werk, en toe het ek al begin werk, en ek werk so met ongelooflikste mense in Bloemfontein, en toe die Here my so gebless met vriende en mense wat my so met oopa arms ontvang het, en soos Elis Marie wat my so in haar huis ontvang het met soveel blessing, en ja, en toe was ek ook op die legacy ding gewees, en ek vir enig iemand wat dit nog nie gedoen het, dit so aanbeveel, want daar sê dit ook, jy, soos jy praat oor soveel goeders wat jy nie in die gewone tyd sal confront nie, en die Here bring het so by jou op, waarover jy moet repent, en waarover jy moet vergifnis vra, en dit het soveel vredeheid my ook uitgekry, en toe sê ek het, Shuma, ek kan nie door my eie krag werk nie, ek kan nie door die Here krag werk, en niks kom van self nie, en toe na dit, het ek soos helemaal gebreek, en, sorry, skies julle, na dit het, ja, het ek net soos helemaal, wat ek gebreek het, en hier het my net soos van voordat heeltemal weer niet gemaakt, ek kan waardig getuig, of van dat hy soveel liefde maakt, so dit in soveel vrede, en ja, dit is eindelijk al wat ek wil sê.
Dankie Lisa, thanks a lot, Linda, en dan Teens, en dan soms klaar, denk ek.
Okay, Alistair asked me to testify about intercession. That's that prayer meeting that happens every Friday morning. Okay. Now for me, the coolest thing about intercession is it's a time where you go and you don't focus on yourself at all. Okay. You go there and you focus on the church, you focus on Bloemfontein, people who we need to pray for. Now in 1 Thessalonians 5 it says pray without ceasing. Okay. Now without ceasing doesn't mean 1 hour a week. Okay. But like, it's an incredible time to see the heart that God has for the church, the heart He has for Bloemfontein, and how He wants to work in people's lives. But the thing is about intercession Friday mornings is it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you getting up 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning or so, and spending time with Him. And while I was thinking about this cost thing, I thought, what would have happened if Jesus came, he grew up, he healed a few people, stayed up in a mansion in the mountains, had an incredible life, and on 85 got swooped up to heaven. Wouldn't have cost him anything. But what he did come to do is he stepped down from his throne in heaven, and he gave up his life. He gave up his everything. And now when Jesus says, love as I've loved you, that means we need to love Him with our whole life and our everything. And now, what is 1 hour in a whole week? Is that loving Him without everything? Is that just a little bit? Okay.
Hello, guys. I just want to testify about band. To get perspective, I just want to share where I came from in a in a band perspective. What's it, William? Huh? No, I'm working on this one. I started out, I remember the last year, I started out in FCE before I came to Bloemfontein. And in September before I came here, so it was 2 years ago, September, about now, about this time of year, my one friend Etienne, those who are on outreach maybe knows Etienne, he got married and he asked me to lead praise and worship at his wedding. It was like on a beach and like very nice, and it was all people like that knew the Lord, so it's an easy praise and worship to do. And to tell you that it was a good praise and worship would definitely be a lie. I couldn't hear myself. It was one of those mics, you know, that you can walk around with. It's got the battery pack in. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's got a big battery pack and you can walk around. So there's not a, it's actually like for announcements. So you can, it's almost like a megaphone, but it's got a mic and then it's got a little speaker that you can, and with the waves behind. So I couldn't hear myself at all and I didn't know the songs well and it was chaos. And after the, I don't know if you guys know what a riff is, but in case, like, say intro would start with the E minor, C, G, D, and like you would play that once and then you would start with the song. And I think the one song, I think it was We Want to See Jesus Lifted High. I think by the fifth time I just said, now I have to start singing. And I started off and I sang this song and I started false, and luckily someone in the crowd got the note and I followed them and the note. It was just, it was chaos, and the next song didn't go any better. And luckily it was all close friends and everyone forgot about it. And so I hope I never ever said anything about the praise and worship there. So that's where I came from. And so many things in my life starts out that way. Like when I think I know something, when I think I've got this, like the Lord, I don't say He breaks it down, but He says, okay, you do it on your own until you give it over, and then we can walk a new path. So that was, academically it was like that. It was, I failed at Stellenbosch quite a lot. Now I'm studying medicine. That was a miracle and a testimony on its own. So when I say about the band, like after that, I think in June last year, then I went on a missions trip, just visiting friends there again. And there's one girl there, she can play really well guitar. And she just challenged me with the thing of what is humility. And a lot of times I had that humility is saying, okay, I'm not good enough. And I think the Lord really challenged me in saying that humility is not always saying I'm not good enough, is to say this is what I have and I'll give this to you. So out of that, I think that's where I started with the band. I said, Lord, sometimes when I practice things well and I practice the note where I have to enter or start the song with, I can do it now. But I'm not a Yanni, sorry Yanni, but that can just like hear the song and just go with it. I have to practice and I have to. And yeah, I just want to testify of how the Lord just equipped me and equipped the band. And I think back where we struggled to introduce the drums and it was just chaos. It was so loud. No one could hear anything of themselves. We just hoped you guys could hear something else but the drums. And I think now, although we're far from what we can be or what's out there, I just think the Lord has just built us up. And I just want to testify, especially of family. In Shofar, it's the first time where you can just, any time, I can just mail James, and that's his job. He's awesome at praise and worship, if that's a thing, to be awesome at. But he's just, and the covering that the Lord gives us, and I just want to testify of that all, and how the Lord equipped me, equipped the band, and just placed family around us, and I just want to praise Him for that. Yeah.
I think we can really agree with Tiens that the Lord has taken the band to another level, and it's not because of them, it's really His heart. And I just also want to say what Tiens didn't say is he was at two conferences this year. He was at the Planted Conference up in Pretoria in March, and he went to the Global Conference in September. And both of those conferences made a huge difference in Tiens's life and in those people who went there. So I really also want to use this opportunity again to encourage you guys when we send invitations out for these conferences next year, because there's going to be another Planted one in Pretoria and then the Global one in Stellenbosch. I really want to encourage you guys. We're going to the Planted one is specifically for equipping, not only in the band, but just in any area of ministry that obviously won't be every single area. But try to get up there. Try to save for it now. Save for the Global Conference next year. Get there. Experience just the blessing of family and of a bigger body that we're in. And experience our God equips you for ministry, and our God inspires you to do what you've been called to do, just like Tiens. He's just fulfilling what God has called him to do. But all of us can really be equipped in what God has called us to do in the church and just outside there. God wants to equip all of us. So I really want to encourage you in that. Is that is what helped Tiens grow, especially. I know those two conferences, and experiencing the blessing of personally interacting with James and the other guys that have just walked a little bit of a further road. And that's all discipleship is. It's just coming alongside someone who's just gone a few steps further and just saying, teach me, help me to do what I've been called to do. And I can just see the blessing of it.